Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Love Tribe. Thanks for tuning in to today's show.
We have a great show for you today with Dr. Narveen Dosanjh.
Yes, and Dr. Dosanjh sure does have a pretty amazing bio. She's an integrative psychiatrist, medical doctor, mental health expert, TEDx speaker, urban yogi, meditator, writer, and developer of NeuroNourish brain supplements. And she practices in Manhattan, and she's been there for about a decade practicing.
And today we dive into her work with clients and her approach of integrating Eastern and Western modalities to treat them holistically. And we don't actually talk about this a lot on the show, but both Sarah and I think it's so important that we approach our relationships holistically, and we get into the reasons why during the show. But for instance, you're trying to improve your relationship, you're listening to this show, so you probably are, but you're operating on 3 hours of sleep a night. You're probably just barely functioning, let alone, you know, having the energy to improve your relationship. And that's an extreme example, but I think it's an important approach to think about that. It's like, hey, I want to work on my relationship, but am I exercising? Am I getting enough sleep? Am I meditating? So Dr. Dosanjh gives us some things to think about spiritually and other ways of improving the relationship, tapping into our intuition. I ask her about her work as an intuitive healer and much more. So really enjoyed today's conversation.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in and sharing the show with your friends and family. When you guys share the show, it gives us more downloads, which makes us more visible in iTunes. And that's exactly what we need to continue to do the podcast and get sponsorship and continue to do the show. So thank you guys so much. What?
Sarah's like, what? I was laughing. Sarah, you know, we need to improve Sarah's audio studio. Right now she's in the grandmother's closet, basically. As you guys may or may not know, we mentioned it on previous shows, but Sarah and Stella are in Florida. I'm here in Costa Rica. Because of COVID, the Costa Rican borders are closed. It's a whole thing, but we knew that when they went back that we would be apart. And so I'm looking at Sarah on FaceTime, and looks like she's in
I'm not the closet in a closet.
recording. But to go with what she was saying, we do appreciate you guys listening. And yeah, the show takes a lot of time to produce, and we love being able to give you guys this information, getting the information ourselves. And we do have a new membership program that we've mentioned, so you can support the show that way and get ad-free shows and bonus content, or just telling your friends and family or leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes does help a ton, because, you know, Sarah's trying to get childcare for Stella, getting out of the closet to maybe a bigger audio studio. But we don't like to ask for money. That's not what we're trying to do here, but we're just asking for your continued support. So we really do appreciate that, because it helps us continue to provide these episodes.
Now I feel like I need to post a photo of me to prove that I'm not in a closet.
I'm just messing with the audience.
I know.
But it kind of looks like it.
It kind of does. I can see that. All right, guys. Well, anyway, enjoy today's episode. We'll see you next week. Before we jump into today's interview, we want to tell you about our online course, Spark My Relationship. Do you guys want to create more passion, improve your communication, and build a stronger, more intimate connection with your partner in less than 90 days?
Yes. Sign me up.
Then you guys need to check out our online course, Spark My Relationship. It is an online course, like I mentioned, that we created with over 15 therapists and psychologists to bring you guys the strategies marriage therapists teach their clients.
We talk about it on the show. Relationships take work. Sometimes they function pretty easily and you coast along, but we've found the reality is you have to do work sometimes and to make them better, to change them so that they're more satisfying for both partners.
And you've made it here. You've made it to listening to our show. So you guys probably already know that a little bit. But what you might not know are the specific tools and exercises that you need to create those lasting and positive improvements in your relationship. And like Chase said, change does not happen on its own. It takes hard work. And that's why we created the course.
Spark My Relationship is designed to infuse your life and relationship with fresh passion, skills, and wisdom. And it's a self-paced journey that's perfect for turning up the heat, having some fun together, and revolutionizing your intimacy and communication.
And just some tools and strategies that the course includes is to how to eliminate unhelpful old habits, develop mindful awareness to help improve your stress management, learn healthy and successful communication tools, create a deeper and more intimate bond, and strengthen your couple microculture, which you will find out what that is. In the future together. So for our listeners only, we're offering a special of $100 off the course. Visit sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock to unlock your discount. And there is a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there really is no reason to not give it a try. So go to sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock for $100 off. Dr. Desange, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
We thought today we could have an interesting discussion about your unique approach to treating your patients holistically. And we've talked about different things on episodes as far as, you know, everything from psychedelics to some Eastern Chinese medicine. So we're definitely covered it a bit, but it seems like out of all the therapists that we've had on the show, that you really embrace taking an Eastern and Western modalities into the work that you do. So why don't we start by having you just tell us a little bit about your approach, and then we can dive into some specifics.
Sure. Yes. So my approach has been to combine both Eastern and Western medicine and really embracing both of them and integrating them, which is rare because often I find people kind of do one or the other. And I, you know, personally believe and think and know that our biology and our physiology are very, very connected to our spirit, our soul, our energy, however you want to call it. So, you know, I think that there is a place where both the biology and neurochemistry can interact and react with every aspect of ourselves. And so therefore, I use conventional Western medicine, and I use things like medications. I also use vitamins. I use supplements. I use herbs. And then I also, in addition to that, combine multiple levels so that healing mind, it is healing of the energetic body, it is healing of the spirit, it is healing of the soul, in addition to all of those things, so that a patient and an individual can have the best possible cure for themselves and healing in every way possible. And so that's really my approach in kind of coming up with an individual treatment plan for every patient and person that I treat.
Can you, for our listeners who aren't so familiar with the differences between Eastern and Western medicine. I know you gave a few examples of medication versus maybe supplements. Can you give us a little bit more of a background of the biggest differences between the two different practices?
Sure. So, you know, Western medicine, and, you know, I'm a medical doctor, so all of the training in med school very much was it was thorough, but it was limited. So it's very much about the body. It is about our physiology and not really looking at the cause necessarily or the ideology behind something, but more of a, you know, a concept of having a disease and treating it with whatever we have that we think works, that we have, you know, researched or anything that we have been working on for several years in medicine, especially with the mind and the brain, which is quite frankly a newer science. And with that, you know, there are many parts that are left out. So you're treating what's there. So for example, if somebody has depression or somebody has anxiety or somebody has PTSD, it's a diagnosis. It has very specific symptoms that you have been well-versed on and educated on. And then after that, you're coming up with a way to treat those symptoms. And very rarely does it go deeper into, well, why is the depression happening? What is the source of the anxiety? What is the, you know, the core of the PTSD? In therapy, sometimes we can do a little bit of that work. But in the end of the day, when we're talking about medications and strictly a Western approach, it very much is looking at pharmaceuticals and not looking at kind of the real cause of something and really curing something, but more just regulating it and trying to make the best of it. So when we combine everything together, when we're saying, okay, we'll use medications when and if we need to and meet a person in their journey where they are, and then alongside that, we're also adding other modalities so that a person gets treated holistically.
How can someone, like a lot of our listeners who is looking to improve their relationship, think about improving it holistically? Like everything we talk about on the show, for the most part, is, you know, we're working with research and, you know, we just did a show on attachment theory. So we're diving into that. And that understanding is important. But I like to mention it, and we don't do it enough really, but things like, what is your diet and exercise lifestyle like? If you're looking to improve your relationship and you're not getting enough sleep and you're not eating well, well, you're probably not going to be well. And then that's going to make it harder to improve your relationship. It's probably going to add a lot of negative aspects to your relationship. So maybe you could give some examples of just people that you work with who are looking to improve their relationships or maybe couples, and kind of the things that you would bring up with them or to implement or think about in their lives from a more holistic approach.
Absolutely. So I always tell my patients that, you know, there's you as an individual, and then there's another person as an individual. And then when you come together in a relationship, that in itself has its own energy and is its own entity. So each individual in the relationship has to have optimal mental and emotional health. Not perfect, that's not what we're looking for, and that's not possible, but as optimal as possible in order to help make that relationship function to its kind of most best quality or for the relationship to be at its best. It's really not possible to have each individual not at their best personal self, or at least striving for it, and then looking to their relationship to solve everything for them. It has to work the other way around. So it takes two individuals actively working on their mental and emotional health and then come together to create a healthy relationship. And it matters on so many levels, you know. So that example that you gave is perfect. If someone's not sleeping well, for example, if somebody has insomnia, well, you know, you're increasing irritability, increasing reactiveness, or, you know, you're more argumentative, you're more likely to not see things as accurately as they may be. So that, of course, affects the relationship because it affects mood. How could it not? And so when we're talking about diet and exercise that have a complete direct impact on stress level, anxiety level, sleep, depression, all of those, And the more stressed we are, the more depressed we are, the more anxious we are, the more unfulfilled we be. And in reflection, the more unhealthy they're going to be.
If we are thinking about, I think it's really just a mindset of understanding, maybe being aware that, hey, I'm not getting enough sleep. So although I want to improve my relationship, and we can do it simultaneously, but maybe I need to address my sleep habits or my eating or my exercise. How do you work with your patients to kind of have a multi-prong approach to working on these different areas in order to improve, let's say, with the ultimate goal to improve a personal relationship?
So the first thing would be is to get an individual to look at their behavior in a realistic way. So I usually ask my patients when I start off with them, we spend a lot of time doing kind of journaling, doing a lot of interviewing, getting an accurate idea from them as well as their partner about how they're doing mentally. So for example, if it's a sleep issue, then we would say, okay, you know, in your viewpoint, let's keep a journal of how many hours you're sleeping. Let's keep a journal of what you're really eating. Let's have a journal, you know, so we have data to work with that's accurate, because perception is not always accurate. And let's look at the data first. So we can get the data. And then I usually ask the partner, okay, so what is your perception? So if your partner is saying, you know, I sleep 10 hours, and the partner, you know, your partner comes back to me and says, no, actually, he or she is only sleeping five. They spent, you know, the first five watching TV or reading a book or whatever it may be. And I know that there's a discrepancy in their kind of self-perception. So that's kind of the first step, is really getting an accurate information so that each individual and patient can truly understand and identify their particular problems and what issues they have and what they really need to work on and what we're really working with. So that's the first step. After that, when we say, okay, fine, for example, if sleep is the issue, then I say, okay, fine, let's now look at what we can do to improve the sleep. You know, and we look at modalities like exercise. We look at coming up with an exercise schedule, coming up with, like, let's look at the diet, because that obviously affects sleep as well. And we try, you know, things like meditation and mindfulness or stress reduction, for stress reduction, and very specific insomnia meditations that I teach patients. After we practice that and do that, we see what the success is with that. And once again, I ask the individual and I also ask the partner and see what the result is. And sometimes there's significant improvement with just that. Other times, if that is not enough, then we say, okay, fine, let's pull from other areas. Do we need to add a herb? Do I need to add vitamins? And in some cases, do we need to add medication? And then we get to the point where they are satisfied with how much they're sleeping and what their energy level is like through their day and how it, you know, how it's impacting their personality and their stress level, and in turn impacting their relationship. And usually it's not done until both people in the relationship are happy with the result of, you know, for example, in this case, how well they're sleeping. So that's pretty much how I would approach a particular issue with an individual and a relationship.
One of the things that jumped out at me when I was on your website and reading about your approach was, let's say, in your bio is an intuitive healer approach. And this is something that's interesting to me, especially because you're classically trained, you have a doctorate degree. And I always thought of intuition as it's just this very hard to grasp thing, but it's important. And then in people that practice as a intuitive healer, I was a bit skeptical. But then as I dove into my own intuition, it's like, yeah, there's something there. It's harder to articulate than maybe a science or a study. So I'm interested to hear your experience as an intuitive healer and how you bring that into your work with individuals and relationships.
So being an intuitive healer is it's an interesting description. And behind those two words, I think is a big story. So in my particular case, what it means for me when I use that word to describe myself it means for me, you know, from a very young age and for many years, a lot of training and working with modalities such as energy healing and really delving and practicing my intuition. I've worked with, you know, particular gurus out in India. I have done a lot of work and a lot of training, actually, from the time I was like young, from the time I was 16, 17. And it's been many years of a lot of hard work, quite frankly. It's hours and hours spent in meditation and self-reflection and building the muscle of meditation throughout the years and really having it as a practice. And then practicing intuition. And the intuition is interesting because as you build that muscle, I say over time, and you really work with it, because it is something also, to just like my doctorate, it was something on the other half of me was working on for many years. And to get it to the point to where it is today, it came with a lot of dedication, discipline, and practice. And what it means is when I'm working with somebody, I am able to delve into something beyond that I can really kind of say is sensical in a logical way, into what's really going on with them. And it helps in the sense of, you know, I'm able to say, especially with patients that I start off with, when they're telling me something or they're speaking to me, I can say, hey, you know, I'm getting the sense that, you know, maybe there's more to this. I'm getting the sense that really there's a pain here that we haven't looked at, or there's something unhealed with your mom, or there's something here that it's presenting as a problem in a relationship right now, but there's something deeper that really maybe nobody has spoken to you about it, or you haven't spoken to about it. You know, we talk about it, and that helps us to then lead the way and really get to the core of the problem in a much more directed way, and in a way that confronts the actual real issue that may be playing out subconsciously or consciously within themselves and then the relationship. Beyond that, then we, you know, go into things like energy healing and working on the subconscious mind. And, you know, that goes into the next level of kind of the healing work with the individual. But it is, I think, using your intuition and being an intuitive healer is very, very helpful in healing an individual and ultimately healing a relationship.
Can you talk a little bit about the healing work and what that looks like when people are working with you through that?
Sure. So I do different modalities, and it really depends on what's needed with the patient, but I'll describe a few of them. So some of the work that I do is what I call energy-based healing. And it's done through, there's a something called mind-body kinetics, which is a technique that I invented. And I invented that with combining a lot of things that I learned throughout many years of my training. And what that means is taking things like yoga, taking things like breathing and meditation, as well as affirmations, as well as very specifically energy work. And the best analogy I can say to the energy work is, if you've ever heard of Reiki, similar to that, but not Reiki, but like the concept of Reiki. And then combining it together and using the body and using the mind. And what we would do is we would do very specific movements. It's kind of like a yoga class, but not fully. It's called mind-body kinetics. And so I work with them because, you know, there's a philosophy and a belief that I store things from that are stored in our subconscious mind, are stored in our body. And the only way to really release them is through the body. So through these specific physical movements, we combine that with the energy healing and with the affirmations. So I do that. And then I also will do things like hypnosis meditations and working on the subconscious mind. So that would involve, you know, deep meditation and deep hypnosis and working on the subconscious level, not just the conscious level. And then we do a lot of conscious level work, a lot of stuff around specifically mindfulness, meditation, you know, breathing, stress reduction, and very, very specific breathing techniques that are specific to a person's problems or ailments that they may have or blocks that they may have.
Before we continue on, we want to tell you about today's sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by BetterHelp.
Is something preventing you from achieving your goals? I was super stressed out with work for a while, and the stress was preventing me from moving forward professionally. Talking through my issues with my BetterHelp counselor really helped me move forward and get on a better path toward my goals.
BetterHelp connects you with a professional counselor from the comfort of your home. You can start communicating with your therapist in under 24 hours, and you can communicate with them via text, chat, phone, and video. You can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, all without ever having to leave your house. It's super convenient and helpful using BetterHelp. Once you use the service, it'll be super easy to see why so many people have been using BetterHelp. BetterHelp is growing so much that they have been recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states.
If you're not happy with your counselor for any reason, you can request a new one at any time for no additional charge. BetterHelp is secure, convenient, and professional.
We want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener of the podcast, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/I do. Join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. Again, that's betterhelp, HELP.com/I do. Today's episode is also brought to you by Trivia Star.
Do you enjoy challenging yourself with trivia? If you're the one that always knows a trivia answer, now you can test your knowledge with Trivia Star.
Trivia Star is a free mobile quiz game that's been entertaining and super challenging to play. You can choose from categories like music, sports, movie, TV, animals, and celebrities. There are over 60 different categories to choose from, so there's always more category to explore. My favorite category is music. You guys knew I'm a music lover, so I love exploring that category and really learning a lot from all the different trivia questions that I don't know the answers to.
And the questions get harder over time, but if you get stuck, don't worry. You can use coins and gems to get a hint and beat the level. And yeah, I'm still using a lot of those coins to get hints. Makes me feel good and be able to beat the level. And Trivia Star has over 2,000 five-star reviews in the Apple Store. So a lot of people are loving it out there.
Right now, Trivia Star is offering you 2,500 coins and 500 gems when you download and play. Just go to the Apple Store or the Google Store and search Trivia Star. Again, search Trivia Star and enjoy 2,500 coins and 500 gems. Download Trivia Star for free today.
What would you tell someone who wants to work on cultivating their intuition and why that can be valuable in our relationships?
Cultivating intuition takes for you to spend a lot of time with yourself. It means committing to silence of some form. And I don't necessarily mean that means that you have to run away to a mountain to go meditate, but it means finding that space in your very busy life and cultivating that space as often as you can. It means to pause constantly. So to say, you know, instead of always being in the reactionary moment, which happens a lot when we're in relationships, to pause and, you know, think of a stop sign and say, wait a minute, let me just feel instead of thinking and going into my brain and having the impulse to say something back from my voice. Let me go into the feeling, a deeper feeling inside of myself and almost beyond myself in a way. What am I really feeling? What's really going on here? What's really going on with the other person? What's behind this? Because 9 times out of 10, any problem in a relationship or any argument or any major fight is usually about something deeper. It's not a superficial about what, you know, in that very moment. It's about the 10 other issues that happened before, or many other fights that have happened before, or many individual issues. So we have to look beyond just the surface interpretation of what's happening in the moment. So pausing, reflecting, thinking, stepping back, you know, cultivating practices where you are spending time with yourself and building that relationship with yourself. And that includes, like I said, meditation, or maybe for, you know, some people love nature, you know, their Zen is somewhere else. Their Zen could be hiking. Their Zen could be on a boat, wherever that is, to spend time there. And then when you're there, to really begin to kind of access and spend time with yourself and ask yourself what you're feeling and what you're thinking constantly, so you can become acquainted with the intuition, the really ultimately I believe all human beings have within them. It's just a matter of accessing it and getting better acquainted with it.
It's such a valuable thing to do and really requires a concerted effort to make the space for it, especially now where we're so busy. And if you have kids and a job and having the time, making the time to pause and go like, why am I acting this way? What am I feeling inside? And like you said, like the more you do that, the better you'll get at understanding, because it's, I guess we take for granted of like, yeah, it's me. Like I know why I'm doing that or I'm in control here. And oftentimes we just get stuck in a, maybe a negative pattern, or we're just so busy with everything else that we're not even thinking about ourselves thinking. And it's a valuable tool to cultivate and really use to improve your relationships, but all aspects of life.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's isn't used enough. And I think there's so much room for all of us to really grow in the space. And there is a direct, I believe, a direct relationship between our ability to access our own intuitive power and then apply that into our relationships and have a better relationship experience and ultimately a better quality of life.
Before we go on to our bonus round of questions, I wanted to ask you, obviously this is a big, we could do a whole episode just on this, but that is the spiritual concepts that you bring into your work and how our listeners can maybe take some of the bigger themes that you like to use to apply to relationships and use for themselves.
So when I do meet with a couple, I also, you know, I speak to them and I say, look, I know you kind of look at yourself and think of yourself as an individual and you have a name and all of that, and you're identifying all of these kind of egocentric descriptors. But if you go beyond that, you know, when you came here on this earth, I fundamentally believe that you came here with something, you came here with stuff. And so some of that stuff you came with, and wherever you came with it from, I don't know, but we do know that even babies, as parents who have more than one, or even one will tell you, have personalities. So we came with something, right? And then we, on top of that, obviously had our environment and our nurturing, and that obviously led to more stuff. And all of this stuff got put into our subconscious mind, or is kind of wired in the conscious mind quite deeply. And here you have all of this stuff, but you are also at the same time a soul or a spirit or a person beyond all these things, however you want to use those words. And there has to be space for you to be able to look at yourself and say, first of all, if you've never asked yourself before, ask yourself very honestly, if ever you want to have a really, you know, deep relationship with another human being, you have to have a deep relationship with yourself first. So ask yourself, what's my stuff? What is my stuff that either I was born with and or it came from my childhood, or it came from the world or my life experiences, but I obviously come with stuff. So what's my stuff first? And then really looking at that stuff and being honest with yourself and going deeper and asking yourself, okay, well, what is it? You know, is it anger? Is it jealousy? You know, what are my triggers? What are my themes? My life is telling me something. And I think when you look at it that way, you really begin to get away from being this defensive individual. And it turns around into really looking at yourself as just a human being in a spirit that has stuff that they've got that they need to work through and address. And you're also dealing with another individual in a relationship that has their stuff that they have to obviously deal with and heal the same way you do. And I think that brings greater compassion. And I think there, you know, it helps to adapt an individual to an attitude of growth. And if you do not have an attitude of growth, you can't really grow in a relationship. You can't grow in any relationship if you're not to grow with self first. So I think that that's all of that is very, very recognizing then that, you know, you do have the power then to say, okay, now that I'm able to see this and I have all of this stuff, what can I do about it? And how can I change it? And what do I want to change? And what are the themes that keep coming up for me that are my responsibility, that are absolutely my responsibility, that I keep experiencing because in my reality, because originally they stem from me. So whatever those themes are, understanding them, stepping outside of yourself, and really adopting this attitude of growth.
It's an important mindset to get into. And obviously, we could go deep into each one of these topics that we kind of skimmed over, but I think we laid a good groundwork for our listeners to think about approaching themselves and their relationship in a more holistic way. Because as I said at the beginning of the show, a lot of our shows, you know, we focus on very research-based ideas, concepts, and there's a lot of value in that, but also tapping into something like our intuition and combining it with those other things can be extremely valuable for improving our life. So thank you, Dr. Desange, for taking that approach with your clients. I think it's an important approach and sharing it with us today. Now we'll go into our bonus round of questions, and we'll start with, what is one actionable daily tip that people can use to improve their relationship?
I would say pause and breathe. So, you know, before you react, pause and take a few breaths. And I think even that break and just pausing in the moment and stepping back from any situation, anytime that you are triggered, anytime that you feel anger or you feel overwhelmed or you feel like you want to lash out, pause and take a few breaths. And that's for all aspects of life, even if you're being triggered at work or you're being triggered in other relationships, no matter which relationship it is. I think that in that pause and breath, and I usually tell patients to take three breaths. So pause in three breaths, a lot can change and a lot can happen. And you can really just be, almost feel it in your body. You can begin to just go of a little bit of the emotion that you're overwhelmed with at the time, whether it's sadness or anger or whatever it may be. Just begin to step back. And I think just the concept of pause and stop and breath, and then doing it in small levels in very, you know, moments in a relationship, but then taking that further in our lives where you kind of go, let's make these pauses longer. Let's make these breaths longer and deeper as you get into other things like, you know, maybe meditating or just being quiet for 5-10 minutes or going for a walk for a few minutes, like adopting those kind of healthy things in your habits in your life. So you can do the pause and breath, but take it to a deeper level.
Is there one book or resource that you would recommend for our listeners?
Oh boy, that's a really tough question. I don't know if there's one.
Maybe your favorite or two.
I have books that I love that I don't know if they do for relationships. They're about other stuff, but kind of more spiritual stuff. But I'm trying to think, there's a relationship stuff that I've read that I don't know. Have you ever heard about the Imago Theory before?
Yeah.
I think I've read stuff. I read a book a long time ago, but that I've always used to find interesting. I like the one about, I think love languages was important. I think that's a good one. I think it's a good way to understand how people feel loved and how they're expressing love and how we feel loved. I think it's the beginning. I think understanding love languages is the beginning of really understanding fundamentally how we love and why we love, basically how we express it and how we feel it. And that's important because I think we need to understand the love language that we have and also the love language that somebody else has in a relationship.
And what about your favorite spirituality book or book on like intuition from that side?
I haven't really read a book about intuition. There was a book I read it when I was quite young, many years ago, but it was definitely something that I think opened my eyes, at least to get me start thinking about different spirituality and different concepts, and whether it was literally true or not is a separate story, but I at least found it interesting. And I ended up working with a doctor a couple of years later. Maybe you've heard of it. It's by Dr. Brian Weiss, Many Lives, Many Masters.
I've heard of it. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was interesting. I mean, it was definitely opened my eyes to at least begin to think of things in a different way. And I read that, and that I found that to be quite impactful and life changing, and it directed me to, you know, doing other work and reading a whole bunch of other stuff and coming up with my own conclusions, which is, I think, the point of the whole book. But I thought it was interesting. Definitely opened my eyes about kind of our purpose and what everything means.
I just usually don't give book recommendations. That's for the guests. But on intuition, A Lion Tracker's Guide to Life, I read a couple months ago, was really interesting, where it's a lion tracker, South African, and uses the analogy of his tracking through finding your path. And there's a lot of intuition involved in tracking a lion. And he applies that to, you know, how we can use that in our life. So I really enjoyed that one.
Wonderful. Thank you for that.
What is one piece of advice you would give to engaged couples or newlyweds?
Patience. Patience with yourself, and patience with the other person, and patience with the relationship. Just patience and trust the process. You know, the first year, or the first even couple years of a relationship, are tough, whether you're just moving in together for the first time or wherever you are in your relationship journey. You know, the very beginning, is a lot of learning is involved. So be patient with the process. And I think if you're patient with the process of a relationship, I think then, you know, remind yourself to be kinder to yourself and kinder to the other person during that period.
And lastly, what advice would you give our single listeners or those who are casually dating in search of love?
To really first recognize that the most important relationship in the world is the relationship that you have with yourself. And the more you are in tune with yourself, the more empowered you are, the more self-love you have and self-respect you have, and the more you're kind of doing your thing. You know, believe it or not, it may sound counterintuitive, but that will fundamentally lead you to the person that is right for you. So just keep on that path and stay positive, and you will ultimately find the person that is meant for you.
Well, Dr. Dosanjh, thank you so much for coming on the show today and giving us a lot to think about. Our listeners can find your website and all the links that were mentioned in today's show in the show notes description and on our website, idopodcast.com. And again, thank you for your time and coming on the show.
Thank you so much. It was wonderful speaking to you, and thank you so much for having me.
Hey, Love Tribe, we hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. As always, all the important links are on the show notes page on our website at idupodcast.com. And while you're over there, we hope you check out our 14-day Happy Couple Challenge, as well as all the free resources we have on our website. And thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.